Hello, hello, and welcome to the Borealis Experience. I'm your host, Aurora, life coach and companion on this beautiful journey called life. And today I have Rick Yanko with me for part two. A couple weeks ago, we posted our first episode and we had such incredible feedback of people messaging us, people opening up about their journeys, people complaining that the episode was way too short. And so we decided to go for a snowshoe today, have a coffee at the yurt, and come up with part two. Yeah, I'm so very grateful that Rick is here, that we can keep talking, and we hope that we bring a lot of value to your daily life, to your journey, that you feel less alone on your path, and that you know that there is help out there. There's people out there who are maybe on a similar path, and we care. We need to care because we need to have a resilient and strong community around us, and a community can only be strong if we start being more compassionate with each other. So I remember from last episode that there was a sentence that kind of, I don't want to say it rubbed me the wrong way, but it stood out to me and I wanted to dive deeper. It was, Rick, when you said that the younger generation is just different. They operate differently. They hurt and complain in different ways than the older generation. And that is something that I've noticed as well. I noticed, conflict between, let's say, baby boomers and millennials, Gen Z, in their worth ethic and the way they approach mental health and work-life balance. I hope that this topic is of interest to our listeners as well, because I can feel that friction and I just want to dissect it, make sense of it, and invite Rick on board and hear about his observations and perspectives. Welcome to the Borealis Experience, Rick.
Thank you, Aurora. I was wondering after I listened to the podcast if somebody would pick up on that point about the younger kids being different. Again, this goes back to years of having a closed mind when you look at people. And I know there's lots of conversations out there about different work ethics and different, this group being lazy, this group not, those kind of things. And so, yeah, thank you for bringing me on to talk about this some more, because over my career, I have seen a total change in the workforce. And why I don't know. I'm not, that's their psychologists and other people that can dissect that. But, what I've noticed, like the old guys, we were all driven by money and I wouldn't say fame, but like fame and fortune. You know, we wanted to be the best, but we wanted to have that big paycheck. We worked all the hours, we worked overtime and that. And then when, as we come along, the workforce changed a bit and we start seeing where, not everybody wants the full-time job. Not everybody wants the overtime and stuff like that. And now in the last couple of years, unfortunately, our industry has been working on the overtime, and we see the fatigue in our staff. But the younger generation is definitely they have changed their priorities, and I think they look at a different life balance. And I know we were talking as we were snowshoeing here that the old guys, we wanted to have the big paychecks. We wanted to, so when we retired, we had that big fund and we could, spend it on our retirement. But by then we're too old and too tired to spend it. Whereas it seems like the younger group, they kind of want it now, which some of us old people find it hard, older people find it hard to understand, but they want to have the experiences now in work. They want work to kind of help balance that out, but kind of more work on their shifts or their schedules, I guess, is what it is. So we've seen quite a change in that. I know in the organization that I'm with, we have groups that are looking at alternative shift patterns, and so not necessarily the straight 4 and 4 that emergency services is used to, and so we're looking at things that make the job more attractive to the younger people that will still give them, you know, the life balance that they're looking for, and also allow us to operate and give the public the safety or the services that they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and what I'd love to add to that is that, I mean, I can only speak for myself, generation millennial. I observed or I witnessed a lot of dads dying of my friends, right? Be it heart attack, be it other causes. And then a lot of divorce happening, you know, beginning in the 90s. So I wanted to do things differently, approach relationships differently, approach work differently, because I realized, shit, it doesn't work. It works for a little while, you know, to abuse yourself and to have that stoic lifestyle and to always push against your own nature, so to say, but you will collapse at some point if you don't take care of yourself. So I can understand the younger generation wanting to do things differently, and it's not necessarily easy for the economy to keep thriving like it did, yeah, to keep going as it did, because, yeah, it will mean that we need to change something, and change is always painful for one side or the other, and it's scary, and it will, you know, create conflict and waves and whatnot. But I see that push happening from the generation like after the millennials now, that goes even more into a direction where they would full on ghost their employer if the employer asked them to come back from a mental health break, right? Like they would not even come in and resign. They would just say, hey, this is it, not giving a reason. And so that's not the solution either. I know that, but I know or understand why the younger generation wants to push for change. What do you think, Rick? What could we do to have, you know, the older generation understand that it's not necessarily laziness or not wanting to work or, you know, not wanting to be part of the society, but it's a cry out for approaching work in a more sustainable way. Yeah. Yeah. How would you talk to an employer who is super frustrated and just doesn't know what he can or she can do anymore with the younger?
Well, I'll tell you, and it's, he'll probably hate me for saying this, but they need to have a talk with my son. So I was always struggled with the idea of why you wouldn't want a full-time job that give you benefits and security and stuff like that. And I think everybody wants that, but I think they look at it differently as, you know, what's the price of that? So, you know, the price of having a full-time job, you know, can you get the same kind of benefits and stuff with part-time jobs and whatever? So I think there's a big struggle on their part. But I remember one day talking with my son, and I was having a frustrating day at from work, and I think somebody had turned me down on a full-time job offer because it didn't meet their lifestyle. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what do you mean? Like, you're brand new, you're a new paramedic, and, you know, you got to have bills and this kind of stuff, and I'm offering you like a full-time job and you turn me down, but you're willing to work in the same location, just you turn me down on the full-time. So it didn't make sense, and so Morgan said to me one day, he said, well, He said, have you ever asked what we need? Or have you ever asked what we want? And I went, well, that's, no, I'm the employer. It's, you know, what do I need? And this is what I'm giving. And he goes, no, he says, you need to stop and go and ask, what do we need? What do we want? And he said, because, you know, he said, growing up, he says, our wants are different. The society is different. And our thoughts are different. Like just thinking about it. And he says, so, you know, you need to start looking at this from our point of view or from a younger person's point of view, whatever. And then start thinking a little bit like that. And I went, took a step back and I went, okay, so this young fellow that I offered the job that turned him down, the reason why he didn't want the full-time job was that he had personal commitments that he wasn't willing to give up that went so he wouldn't been able to fulfill that with a full-time job. Once the commitments were done, he actually took a full-time job. So again, more of it is I believe talking to these and learning what they are. And for an old person or in my generation, I mean, we're the ones that are in control. We're the bosses and that is, and we have to stop and go, okay, how do we need to talk to these people? We need to find out what they need. Then we need to decide how do we give them something that they want so that they'll stay with us, but still provide the services to the public. And it's very challenging. But again, you know, my organization is looking at different work patterns and shift patterns and different things like that, which is a start. And then again, I think we just need to look at the job itself and go, okay, you know, what can we offer? But again, we need to bring them into the loop, mm-hmm. and find out what's going on, what they're thinking about and what their life is going to, and then try and understand and come back to an agreement or an understanding, I guess. And like that, I don't think we're at a point where we can give them everything that they want because we still have to provide services to, especially in our industry, to the public. And so I think we need to try and find a healthy balance, a kind of a bit of a give and take, but we need to look at new ideas and new things. But a new idea to me is totally different than a new idea is to my son. And so it doesn't do that's a lot of good by me going, yeah, I think this will work without knowing, talking to the younger groups and going, hey, guys, you know, I'm thinking about trying this. Do you think this will help you? And like that. So I think those conversations are where we need to start. I think we're starting them, but I think we're way behind the times, at least from what I've seen and from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That change came upon us so quickly and we probably didn't anticipate that because I don't know if I think about it, all those generations, like the silent generation and then the baby boomers, the millennials, it's never been that the younger generation dictates a complete change of how we work or relate to each other. And especially in your industry, I mean, it's such a high-pressure job. How can you... Yeah, for me, it's still hard to grasp, but how can you change it in a way that you're still an effective doctor, nurse, paramedic, but at the same time, not at all cost, right? Not at your own health or relationships cost. So I can see how it is tricky and maybe full on explosive when those two generations sit in a boardroom. But this push can also be an incredible opportunity for the older generation to see that, hey, okay, so how we related to our job or our body, ourselves in the past was pretty abusive, right? We would work on hours, we wouldn't get much sleep, we wouldn't eat healthy or, you know, live healthy, and yet we wonder why we get sick at the end of the day. Now there's a different way that we can look at this and may hopefully have the same results and the same amount of, you know, people being saved by paramedics and doctors and nurses. but not in a way that you, you know, give up too much from your personal life and your own health. Where do we want to go from here? Like, what would you love to have the younger generation understand about the older generation? Because I feel, because of your son, you can see and understand the younger generation. How would you speak to the older generation to make that shift to, I don't know, is it emotional intelligence or is it just better self-care? How would you label what the younger generation is pushing for?
That's your job. I don't, I think what I see with the younger generation is they're looking for that healthier life balance.
Yes.
There's a lot more education out there for fitness and stress and stuff like that. And I think the old system that I grew up in the EMS and that isn't, I mean, we talk a good game at the old style, but, you know, we don't necessarily, it doesn't fit the new world. Mm-hmm. And we need to make changes so that our staff can stay physically healthy, that they're getting the proper downtime and the proper support. And I think the old days of us sitting on tailgates drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes and talking about our calls, well, most of the guys now don't smoke, and I don't know how many drink coffee, but again, those are unhealthy lifestyles that we have to make sure that aren't happening again and that we're giving them the proper support, following up and looking after them, looking after their calls, and then just making sure that we're checking in and we're doing the mental health supports on them.
Yeah.
And the rest of the, you know, their workload or not the workload, but their work style and like that, that's something that we're going to develop. But when talking to an old person, an older generation like myself, the young ones need to understand that we're probably as confused about them as they are about us. And I think it's just open conversations and you know, making sure that everybody is talking the right lingo and that the expectations are being discussed and understood, and then coming to positive agreements on how this is going to look. I mean, they're driving the boat because they're our workforce, and we need to be able to come up to a system that allows us to do business and them to seek what they're looking for. Otherwise, they're going to leave. They're going to go to another field. And I think this is not necessarily just in emergency services. Mm-hmm. Because of the way the workforce is right now in the world, we have to do things that will keep this younger group involved, excited about coming to work, so that we can keep them. Otherwise, they're just going to go to a different field. And we see that in the EMS world, where the paramedics are jumping ship for fire departments, police departments, going into nursing and other allied health situations. I believe it's not whether they're just not liking the world, like the world of EMS or that, but we definitely need to start working and start to figure out a kind of a happy medium and where to go with them. Because, say, they're driving the boat, and we don't need to stop them. I don't want to stop them because they're bringing new ideas and that there. So we need to look at how we do business and figure that out as management and leadership. We owe that to these guys. And then we need to make sure that we put in all of the safety aspects of the job and making sure that the mental health in that is all is looked after, because, you know, I'm going to say they may be more fragile than us because of how society has changed from the youngers. I mean, we have staff now that are, you know, 19 years old, and still some of them still live at home. And that's just the way the world has been for a lot of jobs. And so when I started the career, I was, I think I was like 19, but I was living by myself, and most of our people were doing that. And because of the way the world is now, there's a lot less of that. And I think that's part of the problem, or not the problem, but that's part of the scenario that we have to look at.
Yeah. Yeah. So conversation, open-mindedness is, needed. And yeah, you say the younger generation is more fragile, and I understand what you mean. At the same time, I want to say they give themselves permission to feel tired, exhausted, in pain, and your generation was not.
Right.
And that's, like, there was no, you'd be called a sissy or whatever they would call you. You would get so bullied back then if you had said, oh, that was a tough call. And now people hold space for each other, and they are allowed to say when something hurts. And that's something really tricky to learn for the older generation, because it's hard to see that, yeah, for years you were bottling up, you were stuffing down, numbing out feelings with drugs, alcohol, cigarettes. Yeah. And now the younger generation has permission to, you know, raise the hand and say, stop, I can't go no more. And it's...
Yeah, and thank you for correcting me. Like, fragile may be not quite the word that I was looking for, but yeah, that's you've nailed it. Like, in my generation, we were quiet about it. And in the previous podcast, I talked about, you know, we bottled up all that, and that's where we end up, where I am today. Whereas the younger people, they're holding space for this. We need to make sure that they have the proper channels to deal with the stresses of these calls properly.
Yeah.
So that they don't bottle things up and end up where I was a year ago, and when a lot of my older colleagues are. So I don't, you know, thank you for catching that. I didn't mean it as a negative one there. But I know the older people, that's one of the closed mind things we look at, and we talk about, you know, these kids being fragile, and like that. And again, you nailed it, you know, closed mindedness versus open mindedness. And we need to bring in an open mind when we're discussing these things with the younger generation.
Yeah. Well, and don't get me wrong, like, I'm sure that there's people out there who take advantage of that situation and are even more lazy than anything else. And there's always a rotten apple.
But there's a rotten apple in every age group.
And yes.
It's not, we can't, the laziness, we can't pin on a younger group that they're lazier.
Yeah.
They just have different work ethics or different expectations that the old people, the older groups didn't grow up with. So it's just different generational gaps. And I think, you know, we need to come and have discussions. And I mean, there's still expectations in our EMS world that, you know, you have certain work to do.
Of course. You
know, and some people, old and young, don't do it. So it's, you know, I don't believe that the younger guys are lazier. I believe they just have sometimes different ideas and things like that. So,
yeah. Well, what I have a hard time with the younger generation is that when something doesn't go well, they shut down or ghost. And what I meant earlier with the not coming back to work, and that's something that's not going to help. Like, that's something we need to learn, is that we need to have these tough conversations and trust that the other person wants to understand our point of view. But just running away and thinking that, okay, now it's solved, that's not okay. So, yeah, it's going to require work, in quotes, from both sides. And for some reason, I feel that the older generation will have it more difficult, because now it's not only, you know, giving over the reins to the younger generation, but having to learn how to communicate and how to transition in a way that the system is not going to collapse. Again, especially in the first responder world where it is about life and death. It's not a joke, right? People have to function. People have to be emotionally tough and mentally tough. And how do you find a balance there in trying to keep the work life balance, but also showing up at work in a way that people just don't die now on the streets? So it's tricky, but I feel it's important that we talk about it. And if you enjoy this episode, please share with friends or give us feedback. Message Rick, message me, and tell us what you think, because, yeah, we're just blabbing on here and sharing our thoughts and observations. Is there anything you'd like to add to this?
No, I think we're just, you know, the idea is again, it's the closed mind versus the open mind. And as we proceed into working with the younger generations, especially the older generations, mine and like that, we need to make sure that we can embrace each other's visions and learn, you know, understand where they're coming from and help them understand where we're at. And maybe we can, you know, things will just go in with it with an open mind. As I discussed in the previous podcast about the, you know, starting to look at things differently and knowing, not thinking that, you know, my way is the only way, and these young people, can't do the job because they want to do it differently. I mean, I think there's still a couple of things that they need to learn from us, but I think we have a whole bunch more to learn from them. And without talking to them, we'll never do that, because, you know, we're putting our visions, what we think they want, on there. And again, we don't know. And so, you know, we need to have the conversations and figure out where they're going and figure out how that's going to work for us. And whether it's in emergency services or, you know, in other industries or even just at home, you know, we need to have those conversations and be able to support them that way. And then if we can make the workplace better and the working conditions better, that all comes out in their mental health. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the morale is better, the you know, we get into the areas of, you know, being able to support them better. And I think the support is a big thing that where we lack sometimes in you know, every aspect of this is being able to support the people properly. If we don't understand them, it's hard to do that.
Yeah.
And I think to open up our minds, looking at this and coming into unjudging with no judgment and just having those conversations and an understanding is, I think, where we need to go.
Yeah. Now, I have one more thing that came up when I was listening to you here. Do you believe that a person in a leadership position of the old generation can hold space for the younger generation when it comes to mental health and emotional health if they themselves have never experienced it? And the reason why I'm asking this is because I know you, and I know that, you know, I don't want to say you're a full-on pioneer, but you're one of the few guys that I know in your generation that is doing that work, this heavy lifting of dissecting, reflecting, you know, taking care of your mental and emotional health. You understand, you have now the understanding of how it feels to be in emotional pain. A person who doesn't have that reflection about him or herself, the self-awareness, who, you know, still lives in denial of emotional and mental pain, how can they hold space for a generation that is you know, more emotional and like I said earlier, allow themselves to be vulnerable.
I don't think they can.
No, and that's so. What do we do then if we see a person like that in leadership? Like, do they have to go to therapy first? But if they live in denial, then
I don't know if the word therapy is the word.
Yeah.
As education and that, and I mean, the organizations that we're with and many other organizations, especially in emergency services, are starting to do a lot of education on mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I think the older generation or any of the generation needs to decide to be a successful leadership, that they take this education, they learn about it, and then they will understand where these people are. In the last podcast, one of the things that I did is I quit learning. I thought I knew it all, and I think I don't know if I mentioned it there, but I know you and I have talked about it. Is somewhere in my life, I decided that I didn't need to learn about mental health because I knew it. I knew all these different things that I thought, but weren't correct. And when a person stops learning, mm-hmm. whether it's about mental health, whether it's about medicine, whether it's about doing your banking or investments or whatever it is, once you stop learning, you get a closed mind because you don't have any more information coming in.
Mm.
And so I don't believe that unless a person does keep learning and keep participating, that you can get there and you'll end up being in a, and we use the word quite a bit, is the closed-mindedness. And you won't have successful leadership or successful conversations with the younger or anything, especially when it comes to mental health, because you know you're still going to think, oh, you know, he's just having a bad day, or he's just trying to get the day off, and whatever.
Yeah.
When, you know, the old things that I talked about before, I look at mental health now. I'm in a totally different aspect. I look at the young staff that we have and it's my, you know, goal now because, you know, doing the podcast and that is to get some stuff out that we need to have these conversations. We need to talk to them. We need to teach them things like resilience, and stuff like that. But we also need to understand what they're thinking, what they're going through. Because their stressors are a lot different than ours would have been maybe at their age.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 20s, there wasn't the internet, there wasn't the, you know, Instagram and Facebook, and so we didn't have any of that stressors. Our biggest worry was where was the party going to be on the Bush party in the weekend, and who was getting the beer. So, you know, I mean, the stressors in that are totally different.
Yeah.
We need to understand. You know, I mean, I remember having a conversation one day about the bullying on the internet, and it's like, well, just turn the internet, like, just turn your Facebook off and when like that, but it's not that easy. And you know, a lot of people's social aspect of their lives revolves around social media and you know, get into the dopamine factors and those things like that. But so I think we need to understand what those factors are. There's lots of work being done on them by doctors and scientists and whatever. So there is getting to be more and more information, but that's what we need to do as the older generation to be successful, to work with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree 100%. And I want to add that people who have hit rock bottom, people who, you know, had to climb their way back out of the quicksand of, you know, depression or heartbreak or whatever it is, will still be the better leaders and resilient, like, community members compared to a person who's just reading a book and learning about mental health, right? If you are willing to dive deep in your own journey, or if you're broken open by a mental health crash, like a total, you will now understand what it means to be in pain, and you will have compassion, and it will be easy for you to hold space. And if you don't do the work on yourself and just think that, yeah, everything is fine, everything is perfect, it will be harder. It's still possible, but it will not come as naturally as from somebody who knows what the pain is. And that's what, you know, I'm so excited to post this second episode and to reach people out there who, you know, need to hear this. You are incredibly precious. You are so important. And if you go through pain, know that it will pass, and know that this pain in the future will provide you with tools when it comes to connection and feeling compassion for others that you could have never imagined. Would you agree that the pain you had to walk through in the last couple years opened up your heart and changed the way you relate to people?
Oh, no doubt. No yeah. doubt at all. I mean, I think I talked before about, you know, going through COVID or whatever in the time when I didn't like people. And I said to myself that I didn't like people. And that wasn't me. That was just, that was the, I don't know, the, talk about it being the old me or what, it just the what I had developed, that was my shield. I didn't have, you know, didn't have to be around people, didn't have to explain, didn't have to do anything. And you know, I spent hours in my wood shop making sawdust by myself. and but that was my safe place and whatever. In the last year, I've got a total different opinion on that. And you know, I still love my time by myself. But that time by myself is not because I want to be away from people. It's because I want to spend time by myself to work on me. Yeah. But things like when I go into the hospital, before I used to just barrel down to my office and close the door. Now I try to say good morning to, you know, whoever's in my pathway, the ladies in the administration desks, the nurses that are there, or the physicians, or the housekeeping ladies that are always at the door. And that, when I go into the coffee shops, before I used to just order a coffee and I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And now, I know I have a conversation with the people behind the desk, and, you know, we're always chatting about how their days are and getting into conversations. Sometimes I've been in there having 10-minute conversations, and this has just opened my eyes to being happy again, I guess, you know, and like that. But last year and the years before that, yeah, I couldn't get out of those places fast enough and going from there. So I a lot of that came from me just realizing that my mental health where it was, and being by myself, I could protect myself. Once I opened up, I'm doing podcasts. Like, you know, you would have said to me 6 months or 8 months ago that you were going to have me doing the podcast or two, I would have gone like, yeah, you know, this ain't happening. But, and I'm not going to necessarily be the next Joe Rogan and go with that. But I do feel that these are definitely topics that we need to discuss, and I'm open to share my story with that. And so, again, now I'm open to talking to people all the time, and I still, you know, there are times when I'm quiet and whatever, but sometimes I need to listen and learn, and things like that. And the one big thing and a point that we never talked about, I know we did on the snowshoe today, was learning when to listen and learning when to give advice. And one of the things, and I talked about the fellow named Bo, who worked with me, and he was out of Edmonton. And one of the things he told me was that sometimes I needed to shut up. When people were talking to me, they weren't necessarily wanting my opinion, mm-hmm. and they wanted just me to listen. And I think this is an important thing that we need to do. And I try to catch myself. Because before, anytime anybody would talk to me, I would give them my opinion and tell them how to fix it. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot with our younger staff, once I get into a conversation, they just want to tell their story. And so we need to listen and have empathy for them and not necessarily try and fix it.
Yes.
But they also need to know that they can also come for help to fix it when they need to. So yeah. It's kind of an interesting thing in lots of my close friends and people and my son and that will detest that I was always the one that wanted to fix their problems. And
yeah.
And that causes a lot of strain on relationships on that. And in most of it wasn't that I was thinking that I was better. It was just that I knew the answer to that question. And especially when, you know, being in the industry for as long as I have, I mean, I had a lot of knowledge, not necessarily always the best knowledge, but it was the way that I did it. And so now I listen lots and I talk less, except on the podcast.
Yeah, that's good. That's what we want. And, you know, the younger generation, I mean, I experienced that with a loved one. He always wants to give me advice. He listens well, but, you know, he hates to see people suffering. And I think your personality is the same. You mm-hmm. just hate to see people struggle in pain and not living in resolve, but in problems. And so you want to give a quick solution. And for some people, it feels like full-on abuse. they just must be hurt.
You know, and that comes into parenting too. And I think you see that like with a lot of parenting. And I'm not going to dive into parenting on this podcast because I'm not, I mean, that's a totally different subject for somebody else. But you know, as parents, we don't want to see our kids, you know, struggle. We want to make sure that they have the best life, the better life than what we have. But sometimes those struggles will make them a better person or make them the person that they need to be.
Yeah.
You know, and we need to step back and just sometimes maybe give them a guiding push, but not give them the answer to all this stuff. But again, it comes down to, you know, are we going to listen to them or are we going to, you know, and let them vent to us, or are we just going to solve their problems and then they're going to get frustrated because we're not listening?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very interesting point. And for the person who feels, you know, advised at on not voluntarily, they can open up their mouth and say, hey, I just want to vent. Hey, I just want you to listen, or I don't need your opinion or advice, but I want to share with you transparently where I'm at today and not just shut down and, you know, run away and say this person is so close-minded, but to know that there's a learning that can happen between two people or two generations or parent and child that, you know, can deepen the relationship even, and you can grow together then.
Yeah, and you just, like, you know, try and be a paramedic and then be a parent to a paramedic and see the conversations. And I know, like, it's, you know, there's lots of times it's just like I have to shut up because, you know, I don't, which hat do I wear? And again, lots of times we just have to, we have the, are you venting or do you need dad? Mm-hmm. And you tell me which hat I need to wear. And I think it's hard sometimes for the older generation to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's also okay to tell the younger generation, and I've done this with both of my kids, is that when you need me to do something different and I haven't picked up on it, let me know.
Yes.
And eventually I will understand, you know, the game that we're playing. But, you know, if you're calling me to vent and not want my opinion, it's okay to say that.
Yeah.
So I understand. And then eventually, you know, you get that learning and go from there. But I think it's, you know, imperative on both sides to be able to communicate and go, hey, yeah, dad, I just want you to listen.
Yes.
So I can vent.
Set
and it's a, or hey dad, I got a problem. Do you, you know, can you give me some advice? And I, so that line gets blurred, at least in my world. But that's one of the best things that, you know, has come out too, is that now I can understand where this line may be.
Yeah.
and go from there. So it's again opening my mind and learning about the young stuff and on how to communicate. And that's going to be the biggest issue that my age group and the older age group has, is learning how to communicate with the younger group. And it's frustrating on both sides. But I think, by learning and listening and that, we'll get there.
Oh, yeah. And there's so much growth that is going to happen. And I'm excited for this. I'm very, very, pleased on how this conversation went, and so grateful for all the insights, observations, and thoughts that you shared here on this podcast. And I hope to you, dear listener, that, you could see yourself in some of the examples, and can use that to reflect and to maybe use some of the tools in the outside world. If you have any questions, if you have any feedback, don't hold back to contact us. If there is another topic you wanted to talk, have us talk about, then shoot us a topic request. But I think we'll close here. Does that sound?
Yeah, just the last thing that I got is let's not stop talking. Let's not stop talking between the age groups. Yes. Let's keep supporting each other.
Yes.
And we'll get there. We'll get there slowly but surely.
Yes. I love that. All right. On this, have a wonderful rest of your day. Please feel free to share this episode with loved ones on social media or via WhatsApp. And take really good care of yourself. Bye-bye.